Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hold on. Didn't you ask me what OnlyFans was last time you were here?
Oh, OnlyFans. Yes. When we were at that retreat, I was like, I am learning so much new stuff.
That was the sweetest moment.
So what are OnlyFans?
Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, OnlyVans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
This is the most fancy podcast we've ever been a part of.
The van sessions. What are you calling it?
Only vans.
Only vans.
Like,
see,
you know,
I should have brought my van shoes.
I
not
well,
my Steve Madden's.
I feel bad. Hold on. Didn't you ask me what OnlyFans was last time you were here?
Oh, OnlyFans. Yes. When we were at that retreat, I was like, I am learning so much new stuff.
That was the sweetest moment.
So what are OnlyFans?
You were like, what is OnlyFans? And we were all like dying laughing. And it's so funny to like explain it to somebody because you don't really think about
it. I waited until I got home to look it up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but that's why this podcast is called Only Vans.
I never would have made that connection.
Because we're in my van and it's parked in a giant open field. So in case we get heck for not having our seatbelts on, we are not moving, nor do we have any intention of moving.
We're not moving. We're not drinking.
No. Right. Hey, Kat, you ready to go? All right. Do you watch South Park?
No.
Okay. No, this...
I'm not cool enough.
You're the coolest. You don't know what OnlyFans or South Park is. That's maybe a blissful life. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's a naive
It's
life
good.
In some ways.
Well, thank you for doing my podcast. Everybody, if you don't know, this is my friend Helene Cronin, and I'm so happy you're here. And how does it feel to be interviewed by your biggest fan?
Oh.
Is it awkward?
No, it's amazing because my biggest fan's even wearing my t-shirt.
I have your t-shirt on. I'm going to steal a piece of your hair later to keep in a jar.
I'll clip a little lock off for you.
Thank you.
Didn't you keep a pic that I had my bite marks on it?
I'm telling you. I have a creepy obsession for you, and now you're in my van stuck forever.
No.
And I just appreciate you being here. I love to talk to songwriters.
I have one with no teeth marks.
Great. Like, give me that right
that's
now.
For you.
New guitar pick. This is wonderful. This will be our first van memento. We'll put it in here. I'd love to talk to songwriters that have been like lifelong songwriters. Like, I feel like as artists, we're singer-songwriters. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Joe from accounting can have a midlife crisis and pick up a guitar and write a couple songs. And he's also a songwriter. Right. So it's such a broad term. And I just want to know how you've dealt with this really hard, difficult, awkward career your whole life and made it work so well. You've really done it.
I have. I've done my best at it, and it's gone through different seasons. So I probably started writing my first songs, and I was very musical growing up, but wrote my first songs in college and made my whole dorm cry with the first song that I wrote. And I think that's what hooked me. And it was like, I have something to say, and people are moved by it. And that's addictive. But then I wanted to get married and have kids, and I've done all that and raised them, but I never stopped songwriting through whatever season of life, whether I was working, raising kids, being responsible for my family, I just never stopped songwriting, and it's the passion of my life. And now I'm lucky to get to do it on more of a full-time basis. And I think I know Joe, the accountant who became a songwriter.
Uh-huh.
I think anybody that, you know, when you have something artistic that you want to do, go for it. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what else you have to do in your life. Just do what you're passionate about.
Totally. I know that people... You know, we talk about co-writing And that means writing with another person. I got my first publishing deal with Sony. I had never co-written a song in my life. And so that was really strange to just walk in with these amazing writers. And I'd never done that before. And people always compare it to dating. Do you think that's like an accurate?
I think it's very accurate because there's a thing in dating that you want to have, and that's chemistry. And I think it's the same with songwriting. You want to be in the room with people that you enjoy being with, because you're going to spend, if you're a writer in Nashville, you're going to spend 4 hours in a day with this person. And not every co-write works. So sometimes that chemistry is not there, and you pretty quickly figure out who it is that you want to get back in the room with. And it's not just personality chemistry. It's actual song building chemistry needs to be there too, that you work well together.
Totally. I was talking to my band the other day, and like the weirdest things pop out of my mouth when I'm sitting where you're sitting and we're driving down the road. And I was like, I don't know if it's like dating to me, because dating makes me really nervous. But co-writing's, I'm a lot less nervous. I think it's more like whitewater rafting, where you're like strapped into a ride and it could be pretty fun. It's a little scary. Or waterboarding, where it's like mostly torture. Like, you're not going to die, but it's really... It feels like you're going to die. I've had a few of those, and I don't know how much you want to talk about songwriting experiences. I mean, we're not here to bash people. We both have had probably some of the most amazing songwriting experiences, but I kind of think it's funny to go down the lane of either, you know, someone who had bad etiquette or, you know, do you have anything like that?
I do. Well, I'll tell the first story I'll tell is on myself when I was a beginning co-writer. And I was writing with a girl I had met through the Dallas Songwriters Association. And I had never joined a songwriter association before, but we met and we clicked and let's write a song together. So I brought an idea in, and I had a whole lot of the song already crafted. And then she pitched in and we got the song done. And the next time we met up to go through the song, I had actually highlighted in one color all the lines that were mine, highlighted in a different color the very few lines that were hers. If it had been flipped, I'm not so sure I would have highlighted.
Right.
But I was so sure that I should own more of this song than she did, because more of the lines were mine. I learned really quick. She just looked at me very, very sweetly and just said, "What's the highlighting for?" So I had to own up to this thing that I thought you split songs by who wrote the most words or whatever. And, and she said, no, the way they usually do it is if it's two people on a song, it's 50-50. And if it's three people, you each have a third. So that was my education into dropping my ego at the door, that a song, it doesn't matter if I contributed the most that day or if I contributed the least that day. If you're in the room and you're all contributing and you're all doing your part, that's a beautiful thing. And it all gets split equally.
Totally. And I mean, I've been the person that maybe only had the hook. Like, it was my idea, and then nothing else happened. And maybe the other writers really have more of a connection than you do. But what I have found that helps me the most is that splitting up zero, it doesn't really matter how many times you split it up. It's really still zero. Just being there and really actively taking a part. And unless you're the person like on your phone scrolling through Facebook at a co-write, you get negative percentage for doing that. There's a lot of like unspoken, unwritten rules that you learn pretty quickly, especially in Nashville, that I learned right away. But I wish someone would have told me, you know. But that one, I feel like you don't need to tell people that. You should know better than to be
well,
on your phone.
There's a ton of roles in songwriting. You might be the person that drives the music.
Right.
You might be the melody guy or girl. You might be the one crafting, you know, putting the structure of the verses together. But you should never be that Facebook.
Right. You might be the person buying the beer. That's the most important person in my room. I like that person the best.
They're very popular.
Yeah. I had a pub deal with Sony at the time when they were going through a big merger. And so they weren't really paying a lot of attention to what I wrote and what I, you know, they just gave me no parameters, which was pretty great. I was pretty free to do what I wanted to do and write what I wanted to write. And I've heard stories of, you know, people that are like, this is Natalie. And they have these life-size cardboard cutouts of Natalie in the office. And she's 34 and she has four kids, and you know, she's the only person that buys country records to keep, you know, Dalton and Domino and Clayton and Dayton off of her so she doesn't jump off a bridge. Like, you write songs for Natalie, and that's such a crazy,
that's bizarre.
And so what made me happy is to hear that your publisher kind of gave you free reign as well, because I'd only heard kind of nightmare Nashville stories, but I had free reign and so did you, so that's beautiful.
Well, and I have publishers now that I meet with, and my publisher that I was in a deal with for about 5 years, who said, Helene, keep doing you, keep being yourself in the write. And I think that's one of the most important thing you bring into a write is not your guitar or your ideas. It's yourself and your heart. And the more you show up with that and who you are, yes, develop the skill and the craft of songwriting, but boy, you have to come in. Even if you're having a really bad day, bring that bad day into the write, not in a mood sense, but in a being willing to share. And here's where I am today. And great songs come out of that kind of stuff.
I love that.
Yeah.
And be on time. I've heard in Nashville a lot of times, like my first week, they were like, make sure you're not late.
Yeah.
Which is really important. I think in Texas, we're super guilty of seeing all of our friends on the road and we're like, we should write songs. Like, we got to get together and write. And then none of us talk like that. I don't know why I did that accent, but we don't ever follow up and do it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've written with my Texas friends in Nashville. Like, that's the way we get. So I admire you for bringing the discipline. You're always like, let's get this date on the calendar. Yeah. And you show up, and we really work hard to write songs together. Good for you.
Yes. Well, I enjoy your company, and I love writing with you. So, and I had to be down here to play a gig anyway.
Oh, so. Great. So I'm not that special.
Yes, you are.
Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah. Well.
Do you want to talk about the song game that recently we've been getting into? So if you know me, I talk about it like at every show, like a broken record. I tell everybody that they should write, whether they feel inspired or not. I have done it for years. Mm-hmm. So it's like an accountability email group, basically. So there's a group of five of us, and we get a word or a phrase, and we have to put it in a song and turn it in like homework. So you write the song by yourself, but you're just in this group that holds you accountable for songwriting. Yeah. And so I asked you if you wanted to be in the group, and you already write so much. I was like, there's no way she's going to say yes. And you said yes.
Well, you know why I said yes?
Tell me.
Okay, my last record, out of 11 songs, 5 of them were solo writes. This time on the new record that I'm working on, I only have one solo write. And I had kind of given up on thinking that maybe I don't write well by myself anymore. Or I think the real problem was that I was really sick of my own ideas. So I think I said to you when you asked me to join, I said something like, I feel like I should say yes, sort of like I need to say yes to taking my vitamins, vitamin C. So it's like one of those things I should do. But I was flattered that you asked, but I also knew that it might be something that would stretch me and help me. And I have loved it. I mean, every single prompt, I think there's only one that I really, really struggled with. And maybe didn't turn a song in, but the others, and I love them. I love everything. The ideas are so wild. And I'm like, how am I going to write a song about maintenance? Or one of my favorites was Paul's idea of lavender and gold. And right. I'm like, lavender and gold. Oh, I know what to do with that. It's been great.
I'm so thankful that you did that, because I know it's like really tough, but it's one of the best things I've done for my career. And I know a lot of songwriters are like, no, you know, I got to wait till I feel inspired. And I agree that's like that's how I felt too. So I understand. But then I would blink and it'd be 6 months had gone by and I haven't written a song. Yeah. And as a professional artist, like, I can't call myself a songwriter if I'm writing one song a year, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I didn't know if you, we kind of had talked about a few different stories, but you mentioned Bobby Pinson earlier, and I just would love if you would tell that story on the podcast.
I had written a song, with Scott Sean White, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the other guy's name, Clint.
Daniels?
No, not Clint Daniels. He's a Texas artist. I'll think of it later.
Black.
Anyway, we had written a song called Hit Like a Girl, and we had done a great job on it. It was full of imagery, but Bobby Pinson heard Clint play it, and he said, you know what? I love that hook, but I don't think y'all nailed it. And he was absolutely right. And so he said that he would like to write it with us. So we got back together, and I fully expected, you know, Bobby Pinson is a phenomenal writer. I love the way his brain works. I love what he brings to music, and like some of it, and Don't Ask Me How I Know. I mean, mm-hmm. he's just got a bunch of hits. He's a hit songwriter. So we're getting ready to write, and all our friends were like, oh, he's going to already have the song written. But he's probably thought of your idea and your title, and he's going to have it all rewritten already by the time you get there. And he did not. He walked into the room just like any of the rest of us, and he sat down, and he hashed out the lines with us, and he listened to everybody, and there was no ego in the room. And I mean, that's one thing. Bring your guitar, bring your ideas. Do not bring your ego. Bring humility and a willingness to learn. I've had mentors, but I think my co-writers are my biggest mentors to this day. But Bobby was, it was great. And I walked out of that room going, okay, he listened to my ideas are in that song. You throw stuff at the wall like spaghetti and see what sticks. And his process is just like my process. So that was a really cool experience. And that's the song is way better.
Oh, I'm so glad. Once you said his name, it reminded me when I was in Nashville, I got to write with Bobby Pinson. And we wrote a song called Every Guy's Got One. And I had forgotten about that song until you mentioned his name. And I'm going to have to look it up because, you know, it's obviously sounds like very funny. But we had like, you know, a go-to shirt, you know. Just every guy's got okay. one. And we just a bunch of one-liners. And we laughed so dang hard writing that song. And those are my favorite songwriting sessions when you're just giggling and everything's flowing. And it obviously doesn't always happen like that. And like you said, that's okay. I've even written with like some of my best friends. And you just hope that the songwriting session goes like your friendship goes. But it doesn't always happen either. And that's okay.
It is okay. I have a lot of songs that are half finished. You know, and if you get back with that person, then you want to try to finish the song. But I think one of the things that I will say to people when I'm new to writing with them, especially in Nashville, is, you know what, I am more concerned about getting a really solid, loving the lines that we have, even if it's only a verse, even if it's only a chorus, than with rushing through, finishing a song in 3 or 4 hours, and then I'm never going to play that song for anybody, and neither are you. Why do I want to do that? So let's focus on quality. And of course, every song's different. Some are going to be funny. There are some for the prompt that I've written, and like I've kind of made myself write in a couple of hours. I just want to do this and do it quick. So every song's different. Process is always different, but I am super committed to a high level of lyric writing.
I love that about you because not everybody is like that. And then I know when I was flying back and forth every week from Texas to Nashville when I had my pub deal, and I would go in and I was just exhausted. I'd been on the road and I was flying in and everyone was kind of just cranking out, you know, not everyone. Some people were obviously there to just crank out a song that I was never going to record, which is fine, but I also didn't love it. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with writing something that I'm not going to record, but that I also love. That's important to me. And then I just remember leaving writing sessions sometimes and feeling like, man, my time is so precious and I'm so exhausted and I just wasted 4 hours. And I know I talked to you about that, and I love what you said about none of it is actually wasted because, you know, you are also building your craft or learning, or you can kind of take something out of every writing session, even though it doesn't feel that way. And I've been there with you in the trenches, man, where we stayed on one song for like 11 hours. Do you remember that day? Me and Scott, and you guys were like determined.
Was it 11?
Might have been 27 hours.
It was a long time.
We stayed on that song.
And got almost nowhere.
We went backwards. No, I'm just kidding.
It's part of the process, though. And since we've gotten away from that song, I've had time to think about it and go, I think this might be the direction we need to go. But it wasn't wasted time. Because we were getting to know each other. Every idea that you throw out and discard, that's writing, too. I mean, it's much about what you don't put in a song as what you do put in a song. So
totally. And I think we ruled out every other possibility that the song.
And then we stopped that one and we hammered through another one, and we did get one done.
I love that song. I'm going to record that song on my next record. That song is so fun. And I'm totally joking, because any time spent with you guys and Scott Sean White, he's such a great writer, but also like such a great connector of people and human being. Yeah. So I'm so thankful he introduced me to you, and I actually don't even know how you guys know each other.
I knew who he was because I think through Dallas Songwriters Association, I had seen his name come up, but he ran a little contest in Dallas to, I think, ferret out some other songwriters. And because I don't like to enter contests, and I didn't like it back then, but I thought I need to be on his radar. I want to get to know him. So I entered and I sang Lucky Me, and Lucky Me won. And then we began to co-write. When he started to hear my writing, he was like, we need to co-write. Because I had run into him a couple of times in Nashville and introduced myself. But it was like, whew, you know, we just didn't, our paths didn't cross that often. Now we're like best of friends, and he's one of my favorite co-writers, and just an awesome human being. And he brings other people along. That's one thing I love about co-writing, too, is it's the relationships that happen in the room, but then also cheering your co-writers on, because success for them means success for your whole tribe, you know? And he's a champion of other people. And that's one of the other things. Not just, you don't just learn co-writing tricks from other people. You learn life skills.
Totally.
I don't want to preach, but anyway.
No, I agree completely. Yeah. I got to write with Dean Dillon.
Yeah.
Watch your toes, watch your Vans. I'm dropping names over here. And that was just, for me, I never recorded the song we wrote, but the stories he told me, yes, and then the lessons that, yes, he told me was all more than worth, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the time spent.
Yeah, and having his voice on my voice memos, you know, saying, you know, that's a dang good song, Bree Bagwell, or whatever.
Oh.
I was like, ah, I'll cherish that forever.
Yep.
And also, like, you kind of never know, you know, I, like, coldly reached out to you on Instagram like a psycho.
Which meant so much to me.
And I haven't listened to a record all the way through in a long time. And so I listened to Scott Sean White. Can we call him like S cubed or something?
It's like a Scott.
Oh, or that. He told me to listen to a record, and I was like, I haven't listened to a record all the way through, and just laughed and cried and felt everything. Mm-hmm. And then I went to pick up Paul, and Paul listened to it all the way through. Same thing, laughed, cried, and I was, aww, like, I gotta tell her this is so great. Will you be my friend? Check yes or no. And then now you're at my house in my van, mm-hmm, writing songs with me.
Yep.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Well, thank you. You reaching out to me has meant a lot, and you've made little social media posts about me being one of your favorite songs. And it helps grow my connection to people, and not everybody does that. So thank you for being willing to give shout outs and have me open for you at Dozy Doe. And I mean, just those little things really matter, and I appreciate it.
Well, no problem, of course. But also, and because we're like, you know, we've been talking a little bit, but I do want to hit on the fact that you are, I don't want to say doing the artist thing, that seemed to like demean it a little bit, but people are lucky enough that you are performing live events now.
Here and there. Yeah.
That's great. And
thank
how
you.
Is that going?
It's good. I, you know, on the heels of my, so I won Kerrville New Folk Festival in 2018, and then I put out my album Old Ghosts and Lost Causes in 2019. And then my calendar started to fill up. Like it had never filled up before with gigs. And then, of course, we all know what happened in March of 2020.
Right.
At my busiest, at the height of everything, my calendar, like everybody else's, just fell apart. So I feel a little bit like I'm having to start all over again. But I do have a new album that I should be getting mixes for this week. And we're going to release, I think we're going to release it at the top of 2023. I'll put out a couple of singles. But it took me a while to own my artistry, and it took a lot of other people saying to me, Helene, you're an artist. You're not just, I went to Nashville. I've been going there 19 years back and forth from Dallas. And in the last 7 years, back and forth every single month. So I was writing for the commercial market. I wanted, you know, Luke Bryan to cut a song or Miranda Lambert to cut a song. And so I'm always writing with commerciality in mind. And in the meantime, amassing this body of work that are songs from my own heart. And so it took my publisher saying, you need to put out a full-length album, an album that represents you. And she hooked me up with Matt King, who has been an artist, is a producer, is an artist, is a songwriter. And he developed and made that project into the artist album. It was not just another songwriter album, which I didn't even know the difference. So it's taken other people speaking into my life and saying, you deliver your songs in a way that nobody else does. Get out there and sing them.
Right. And that is totally true. And I feel like I have the opposite, where I feel like I'm a performer, but
you're a great performer.
I really want to be a songwriter. Like, I feel like this, uh-huh, record for me is a songwriter-y record.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of all over the map, and it's just, and, you know, I don't know why some people have the ability to be like, yeah, I'm a songwriter, and I'm over here like, I'm really trying, and you're like, I'm an artist, but like, it's funny, the people that really own it versus the people that are more hesitant. Mm-hmm. And
well, I think you can be all of those things, and they can be developing at different rates. I think my songwriting was developing much faster than it, but it was my own insecurity that was keeping me from feeling like I deserved to be on a stage. And I don't ever use the word I deserve that, but I think the opposite of that is I felt undeserving, and that's not healthy either. So my artistry developed maybe a little slower than my songwriting did, and I think that's okay for it all to be still coming together. Mm-hmm. You've got time, and you've...
Right. And I think to be kind to yourself about what message you're trying mm-hmm. to send as far as, like, well, let me rephrase that. Be kind to yourself as far as knowing what you are trying to say. I think some people at 16, they're like, this is my message. This is who I am. I mean, it took me until my last record when I was over 30 to really hone in on what my specific sound and my specific message was. And, you know, I wish I had that at the age of 16, but I didn't. It took me a long time to really zero in on myself as a songwriter. And I'm finally there. And it's okay that it took me a little bit longer.
One of the things that Scott and I say is be you. You know, that's the biggest thing that you bring to music is your own heart, your own giftedness, your talent, whether it's for performing or writing or what, I don't know. It's such a great, I don't want to say industry to be in, it's such a great gift to be a musician. And just let it happen, but you're so committed to it. You're so disciplined. You're always posting and on the road and singing and playing.
And always complaining about it. Ask my tour manager. He's here. He's like, oh man, shut up already. But no. Thank you. Yeah. I just really don't know how to do anything else at this point in my life. I really appreciate that. And so I want, if you have any last songwriting gems to share, advice, stories, any last thing you wanted to say before we have, I know, I don't want to end on like a negative note.
No, well, that wasn't, I don't think it was negative. I think the important thing is to, I want to talk about heart and head. And for a long time.
My record?
Yeah.
You're going to talk about my record on my podcast? That's so nice of you.
Please, well, talk about your record.
No.
Then I'll segue into what
no,
I was
No, no, please.
What's the name of your record?
My record is Corazón y Cabeza, which is heart and head. Please continue.
So I did that on purpose. So there should not be a disconnect. And I think that the head should, you know, you've got to bring the skills and learn the craft of songwriting, but never disconnect from your heart. And always make sure that your songs have, I don't know, why don't I just say a reason for being written, because there's all kinds of reasons. But keeping your editor out of the way a little bit at first and letting ideas just flow. And then there'll come a time for the craft and the editing and all of that to happen. And sometimes that's all happening at the same time for me. And then sometimes I go, no, I just want to be free to say stuff in a co-write. And a lot of times out of our insecurity, we'll say, well, this may be dumb, but I'm going to throw out this idea. Maybe you can improve on it. And whatever it takes for you to be able to present ideas to your co-writers with humility, but also with grace and with humor. There's all kinds of ways that we will present ideas and try to stay out of the way of it and then let somebody else improve on it. Or maybe we're the ones doing the improving on
right.
somebody else's lame line.
We have all of those precursors. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell me to screw off, but here's this idea. Here's or this might be stupid, but here's this.
Yeah.
Or you can punch me in the face, but here's this idea.
None of us ever go, here's a genius line.
Right, right. I mean, it's because it is such a vulnerable thing and you kind of just really never know.
Yep.
But I appreciate you letting the songwriter be themselves. Like you do a great job of letting me be me and kind of just bringing out what I want instead of, you know, I've had writes in Nashville where I'm like, hey, I'm really trying to do this deserty Western Texas thing. And that sounds almost Spanish. And then they're writing a pop song immediately. Like they almost can't help it.
Yeah.
You know,
how about some Keith Urban would get for your deserty Texas? I mean, that's kind of how disconnected it can be sometimes.
Right. So. I mean, I'm all for that mailbox money, but I haven't seen it yet. So I'm just going to keep writing my thing. And I really believe good music wins and eventually. So I appreciate you sitting in my van with my less than stellar technical equipment because we just started.
This is awesome.
This might air tomorrow. This might never air. This podcast is brought to you by nobody because we are not sponsored yet, but it's going to happen. So thanks for being one of my first guests.
I'm excited to be here. And if it doesn't get aired and we need to recut it, you just let me know.
Okay. Oh, you have to come back next week and stay forever.
All right.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you so much. Check out Helene Cronin. We'll do all the links and all the things and you won't regret it. I promise. And you'll cry.
Thank you.
I stood in line beside a soldier at the airport ticket counter, We were catching flights in Tennessee. We made a little easy conversation. I asked his destination, another tour of duty in the Middle East. Then he asked me where I was headed to. When I answered home, he just said, lucky you. And I thought, lucky me, he's right. I sleep in my own bed at night. I got everything I need and more. All that he gave up to wear that uniform. Lucky me, while he fights a war, I live the life he's fighting for. He is the brave, I am the free. Lucky me.